Hey everyone, it's Ariel Helwani, and I wanted to let you know that each and every week I'm part of a great program called the Ringer MMA Show. I host it alongside two absolutely brilliant minds. Their names, Chuck Mendenhall and Pete C. Carroll, and every Thursday a new episode drops where we preview the weekend in mixed martial arts and react to all the biggest news. Plus, after every UFC pay-per-view, we give you a post-fight show. So, this is what you have to do. Just follow the Ringer MMA Show on your Spotify app so you don't miss an episode. We'll talk to you then.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
What's up, Shoes?
I'm borrowing this one from @90sWWE, a very fun, fairly well-known Twitter account. Okay. How old were you when you realized that Triple H's finisher actually looks like the letter H?
35 years old. Literally. I saw the tweet, and I was just like, it does kind of look like a lowercase h, and I've never noticed this until now. Yeah, no, I didn't. I mean, he is the cerebral assassin, so if that was on purpose, kudos to you.
Listen, but I have it. I mean, I can say with confidence that there are elements of Triple H's presentation that one would think would be well-known and should be harped on and, you know, whatever, but that are not. So it's possible that this is another one of those things that he said, hey, that's a cool little Easter egg, and I'm not going to tell anybody. But as somebody on Twitter rightly pointed out, if this was on purpose, every announcer would be saying this every time that he locked it in, right?
And then also, would it call it the pedigree, right? Like, they would call it something completely different if, like, his name was Triple H.
Well, the pedigree goes back to Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Well, yeah.
So it was before he was Triple H, but you're right. They would have changed it. It's the H driver.
I mean, the FU was the FU until it was the attitude adjustment. We could have definitely changed it, but I mean,
why was the FU not okay? I understand the PG thing.
I don't know.
But it's just two letters.
It is. I mean, I always thought
he could say D's nuts and dangle a bag of nuts. Could he not? Could he not say that FU stood for something else? Forcibly
you.
Unstable.
Ooh, one of those? I don't know. Forcibly unstable.
The forget you would be fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay. So anyway, we've all agreed here. The pedigree does spell H, but is not supposed to be an H. It's just a happy accident.
It's got to be a happy accident. I don't know. I think Hunter would have leaned in more to the lowercase H's if that was the case. He was very big on the uppercase H's. You feel me? Like, he was an uppercase H guy. I would have dug it.
Lowercase H doesn't really have much strength. Doesn't have much energy.
It doesn't.
But you're right. Well, yeah, you're probably.
It has no base.
Anyway.
It just feels like. you can't not as impressive.
It's the exhausted end of a word, not the big start of one. All right, let's just start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
Listening to
and you are listening to.
And you're listening.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good, bro. How about yourself, man?
I'm good. We're here with the super producer, Brian Waters, today. We got a big show. Got a lot to talk about.
Lots. Big wrestling weekend.
We got three big wrestling. This is like WrestlePalooza 2023. What is this year? 2023? WrestlePalooza 2023.
I stopped counting after the pandemic, too.
I just stopped everything. Yeah, we got Double or Nothing. We have Night of Champions. And we have Battleground all going on this weekend. We're going to make our official picks on Thursday show. But right now, on this show, we're going to talk about what matches we're most excited for. But before we get into that, a couple of notes that we should hit on. There was a big match between Mercedes Moné and Willow Nightingale for the inaugural New Japan Strong Women's Championship. Man, my voice is all over the place today. Sorry, this is the first time I've talked.
It's all good, bro.
It appeared Mercedes was going to win, but then got injured. Details are a little bit sketchy. It looked like her leg went out on a top rope spot. According to PW Insider, they're thinking it's a broken ankle. Oof. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, we're obligated to treat this a little bit robotically, and we say, hey, at least it's not a torn MCL or ACL or both, which is what it kind of looked like at the time. But you know, it's a scary moment when something like that happens in a match, and it's particularly scary when you can, you know, dude, she clearly had a hurt leg, and when she was up on the top rope and had to jump off the top rope onto the floor to like get away from the pain, which was obviously not an ideal situation. But the flip side of it is Willow Nightingale is your NJPW Strong Champion. Which congratulations to her. She's the sort of fighter that could do a lot of business for New Japan. And this is a really good opportunity for her, obviously. I mean, it does seem like they called this on the fly. I don't really know the mechanics of it. Obviously, don't know New Japan, don't have the experience with it that I do with WWE. Who'd be making this call and to what degree that, you know, immediately the machine mobilizes behind Willow Nightingale. But, wow. I mean, what a...
Do you think this was... Supposed to be a Mercedes.
Everything that I've seen and read seems to, imply that this was Mercedes' belt for the taking, and they had to change the ending after she got hurt.
Rough, man. I mean, that is unfortunate as hell. I mean, congratulations to Willow Nightingale. Obviously, she's been killing it on AEW for a while. She's a local product too. You know what I mean? Like, she's kind of had an incredible year, and I'm sure the record books don't necessarily remember how you get the world title, but they'll always remember her as the first. So I think that's incredible. But on the flip side, it does absolutely suck for Mercedes, because, you know, even in WWE, it always felt like every time she was getting some real momentum, she would have some sort of injury setback. So that's got to be a bummer for her.
Without making this too callous and taking it away from that last point, to go back to your previous point, I think that, frankly, it's kind of strange, but the pro wrestling world is filled with counterexamples to what we've seen last night, where someone gets injured in a match or something goes wrong, and they find a way to keep the train running in the same direction, right? I mean, of course, the most famous one is a literally half-paralyzed Stone Cold Steve Austin rolling up Owen Hart after he, you know, got his stinger.
Yeah.
But there've been
Finn
a lot
Balor,
of more
same thing with the yeah, and first yes, Universal Championship.
There've been a lot more that are, you know, less A to B, you know, they like call a non-finish or something when something's not going the way that they anticipated they go. I wish there was more stuff like this. I mean, the wrestling world would definitely feel a lot more interesting if sometimes you just had to put the belt on the jobber in the ring because somebody got hurt, you know? To Mercedes' great credit, they did finish the match. I mean, it wasn't just a non-finish. And Willow Nightingale, congratulations, man. I mean, she's got it all. It's sort of just a matter. Brian is nodding eagerly. You feel free to jump in here, Waters. But I mean, I think for her, it's a matter of, well, it's booking, but it's a matter of commitment that comes. I mean, booking kind of marches forward from there, right? Someone's just got to decide to get behind her. And because that's the only way that fans are really, I mean, fans love Willow.
Yes.
But the only way that you can really like find an outlet for that love is when you feel like a company is committed to her. That goes for every wrestler. You know, it's like how much energy are you going to spend fantasy booking Willow Nightingale if you're not even sure if she's on a full-time contract with your company or whatever? You know, I mean, it's just it those things matter. So, I mean, I hope that they lean into this, have this considered a happy accident, and see what they can do with it. What do you want to say?
I'm just, you know, I'm a fan of Willow. Been one for over 5 years watching just her grow throughout, like Kaz mentioned, local talent. And you see that she just has that it factor, that crowd connection. Like you said, people love her. Roxanne, when she was Roxy as the ROH Women's Champion, with somebody else who had that connection. And in Baltimore at the last Ring of Honor show, I saw fans boo Roxy for Willow. And that would have been like one of the moments where if somebody was like confused or probably didn't know what they were doing, they would have flipped the title, because it was, the crowd would have exploded if she would have became ROH Women's Champion. But you know, you just see her get better. I've seen her a lot of intergender matches. And when she does that pounce like she did on Mercedes, the crowd goes crazy. It's always a clippable moment as well for social media. So, you know, really proud of her, really excited for her.
Yeah, really, really good stuff. Again, we're going to go, I think we're going to run down our two most excited, the matches from each big pay-per-view that we're most excited about. Before we get there, one more news item. It's a happy birthday to our guy, Bryan Danielson.
Hey, and Brian Pillman.
Yep.
Both have the same birthday. Yeah. Go figure.
Danielson, that's funny. Danielson's 42 years old today. He's had a lot of ups and downs in his career. It's kind of hard to like, there's some wrestlers that have been around so long, they feel like they're older than they are. Some of them get in young, you know, get in older and they've only been around for a little while, so they seem younger than they are. I would not have had a real estimate for Bryan Danielson's age outside of like trying to remember back to the first time I saw him, obviously, but he feels, I guess, sort of appropriately 42.
Yeah, I think
He's gone through a lot.
We've watched
42. Go ahead.
No, Bryan Danielson is about the age of my knowledge of independent wrestling outside of WWE. All right. Sure. Like the first time I saw him, CM Punk, Chris Hero, Samoa Joe, Claudio, Kings of Wrestling, those guys.
Daniels.
Christopher Daniels. Like that's like where my knowledge of wrestling outside of WWE truly starts. Sure. So like 42 seems legit. I'm like, okay, that tracks. Okay. You know what I mean?
Let's do a wrestling history quiz.
Let's do it.
What was Hulk Hogan doing when he was 42 years old?
Oh, God. If I had to guess, I'm going to...
Brian's brain just went into overdrive. he did the beard thing, and now he's like, I got to be right.
Was Hulk Hogan
what
already...
What do you think, Hulk Hogan... When Hulk Hogan had his 42nd birthday, around, roughly, what was his next big show?
Bash of
Thunder in Paradise.
Well, okay. No, but...
it was around that time. Damn.
Yeah, no, it was around that time.
Oh, okay, all right.
Brian, any guess? Who was he feuding with when he was 42? Let's do that.
Oh, so I was going to say Ric Flair, Bash at the Beach. But I sound like I'm off.
Close.
Please don't tell me it's the finger poker.
Right after Hogan's 42.
Don't tell me it's the finger poker doom.
Oh, no. It's before that. When Hogan turned 42, he celebrated his birthday by having a monster truck match. On the roof of the arena against the Big Show at Halloween Havoc. One of the most, we could do a whole prestige podcast about this. It was a monster truck battle. Going off memory here, that somehow ended with
the murder of Paul White, right?
The murder of the Big Show, or murder of the Giant, sorry, but also the match hinged on Hogan's manager, Jimmy Hart, hitting the referee with the title belt, which disqualified Hogan. Jimmy joined the Dungeon of Doom, which, whoo, what a collection that was. Yeah. Did that ever get in the book? The Kevin Sullivan episode of the Book of Wrestling, or the episode with Kevin Sullivan's interview exists, but we didn't get most of Kevin Sullivan in there.
Right.
Why not? I mean,
most of that long interview. He basically came out and he said, yeah, the Dungeon of Doom, I know it takes a lot of shit, justifiably so, but that entire thing was basically me as the booker finding work for Hogan's best friends so that everybody would have a job and Hogan would stay happy.
Yep.
It was very strange. So anyway, Jimmy Hart joins the dungeon. It turns out he like wrote a title changes hands in the event of a disqualification clause into the contract. So Giant got the title, but still they stripped him of the title, had a tournament to determine the new champion. I believe it was Macho.
It was World War III. They had the three-ring, 60-man battle royal.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Macho won. And Macho, if memory serves, is a year, I'm looking right now, a year older than Hogan. So Macho was 43 at that point in time. Just to keep this on the Daniel Bryan, loosely connected to Daniel Bryan.
Because you,
and then and then Hogan, oh, by the way, and also at the end of that match, that was when the Yeti came out.
The Yeti.
The Yeti came out, and he and Giant put Hogan in the double bear hug.
Oh, God. What a scene.
Which is maybe one of the most memed things in wrestling history.
So Giant gets thrown off of the roof, dies, resurrects, and wins the world title.
Yes. After a
big ancient night.
Being comes and bear hugs the death out of Hogan. I mean, you got to give it to Hogan, though, right? Like, they was just trying shit when they signed him, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, when Hogan got to WCW, they were just like, yo, fuck it, three rings.
Well,
why not?
Let's okay, you got to give it to him, but I'm guessing trucks, Hogan was...
Sure, fuck it, that works. Let's do it.
Oh, man.
They just threw whatever at the wall for Hogan.
Oh,
yo.
Man. First of all, big love to monster trucks. Like, I'm a big monster truck rally guy. Hey. It's at the time, well, probably just more in my younger childhood.
Only
when I was really
one.
Into, like, the WWF Hulkamania era. Oh, man. Bigfoot, Gravedigger, those guys were right there on the Mount Rushmore. But, yeah, who thought this was a good idea for an actual championship match? Also, they put it over like it was happening live, but it was taped the day before. There's a whole lot of weird stuff here. Also, you can give it to Hulk Hogan all you want, but I guarantee Hulk Hogan wasn't invested enough to show up for the walkthrough because they would have known that the Yeti and Giant double hugging Hogan spot was a terrible idea if they had just all stood in the same place for 30 seconds.
And that was the thing about the World War III. It was a giant in every ring. Hogan in one ring, the Giant and the Yeti in another.
I remember that, and I remember saying Hogan is not a giant. Hogan was less of a giant than like Billy Gunn in AEW is a giant, I guess. But like Hogan was a giant in prestige only. Yes. I mean, he's a big guy. But yeah, now I remember being sort of offended by that.
But from
the time.
A kid standpoint, Hogan didn't seem old. So I wonder for kids today, do Danielson seem because wrestling has gotten so much younger.
Well, Hogan seemed tired, right? I mean, it was like the routine, especially the pre-NWO WCW Hogan was just boring as hell.
Yes, yes.
It was like they hired the writers from Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling when they hired Hogan, and they were like, yo, let's do it. You got any ideas? You guys are good with Hogan. Oh, what about Junkyard Robots? have we done that yet? You know, like it's...
And they had like that shitty really, version of Real American that they did.
Yeah, it was like...
So, I mean, to me, Hogan, yeah.
I was like, oh, God.
It wasn't iconic at all.
Not at all. Thank God they licensed that
Jimi
Hendrix.
That's going to be a great social thing. Hogan felt old to me. Hogan felt old to me at the time. I mean, Jericho said a thing recently where he was like, one of the most amazing things about Hulk Hogan is he was bald and nobody really noticed it. I mean, we didn't notice it, but we didn't think of him as a bald man in the way that we think of like Wilford Brimley as a bald man of the era or whatever. You know, he was a bald yet young man. But at this point, I don't know, the sort of reduced mass and just everything just seemed sort of budget. I don't know. He felt old, like he was getting old to me. Now, if at the time you had said he's 42, I would have been like, yeah, right. See, 42 is old. Now, as someone who's 45, I'm just like, 42, man. He had decades left.
We got to compare lifestyles. You're talking about vegan tree-hugging Daniel Bryan, who's probably hasn't had a steak or a burger in his entire life, mixed with, you know, Hulk Hogan, who's probably eaten the whole
only
cast.
Had steaks and burgers in his entire life.
Like, if that's not a reason to go vegan, I mean, there it is right there. All you got to do is put up 42-year-old Hulk Hogan, 42-year-old Bryan Danielson, and see what kind of life you want to live around that time. So, man. That, the first weeks of Hogan at WCW were rough. I'm telling you, bro. Rough.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's from the moment he touched down. They did the ticker tape parade with him and the
Mickey Mouse, right? And like Disney World or something. No, MGM Grand, right? Is that what they did the parade?
Wasn't it? It might have been.
It was one of those theme parks or whatever.
But Jimmy Hart like is in the car with him. And I remember at the time just being like, why does Hogan, why is this heel manager with Hulk Hogan? It was just like so weird. I mean, I know why now, but even then, it's just like, do we really need, was Jimmy Hart ever a net positive to Hulk Hogan's presentation? I love Jimmy Hart, but it just seemed like.
Man, got the aux cord, I guess.
No, I mean, it felt like a very modern thing in some ways where you're just like, oh, they're like, they're taking the real world, their real world relationship and forcing it onto the screen because they have so much power. And that's something we would boo. Like, that's why you would boo Hogan in 2023, right? It's just like, oh, God. You're getting all your buddies hired. You're bringing Jimmy Hart on in with you. It doesn't help. It doesn't help a babyface to have a scrawny, irritating manager, especially in the long run. It doesn't help because, you know, eventually he's going to turn on you and he's going to join the Dungeon of Doom. And, you know, the rest is history. Anyway, tune in the future for our full readout of the Dungeon of Doom storyline in WCW. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else.
So yeah, a big, big weekend of wrestling this weekend. And what we're going to do is we're each going to name what match we're most excited about from each of the shows. The match at Double or Nothing, the match at Night of Champions, the match at Battleground we're each most excited about. And then, well, we'll see what happens from there. All right. Anybody got a coin to see who goes first?
Let's flip a coin. What we got?
Do you even have a coin flipping app? Mm-hmm. Brian.
I have a brush. I have a stiff side brush and a soft side brush.
There you go.
All right, flip it.
Call
stiff.
Stiff?
Stiff is AEW, soft is WWE. Now, don't read into that.
Soft side up.
All right, WWE, Night of Champions. Kaz, give me one match that you're really excited about for Night of Champions.
It's an obvious choice, but it's the right choice. AJ Styles, Seth Rollins. For the inaugural, World Heavyweight Championship. off rip, I just like the way that they're building it. They haven't really tried to shoehorn in like a personal story between AJ and Seth Rollins. Like, I love that. They just did like a career retrospective on Seth Rollins last week and basically was like, yo, this is a guy who has been at the center of everything that has pushed this company forward in the past 10 years, right? Whether it's NXT, whether it's Money in the Bank, WrestleMania, the pandemic years, the Universal Championship. You know, Seth Rollins has always been involved with anything that is new, groundbreaking, the Shield in WWE. And they did a great job of really illustrating that in a lot of those packages that came out on Monday last week. Flip it over to AJ Styles. And, you know, I think what makes it so fun is that, like, AJ really hasn't gotten to do much since he's gotten back, right? Like, he's kind of, you know, he's said very few words. He won the tournament. And now, I said this weeks ago, I think this is a matchup between the two best in-ring competitors in wrestling, arguably, for the past 10, 12 years, as far as, like, complete sort of, you know, everybody's always talking about the heir to the Shawn Michaels throne as far as like the person you could put on any card and steals the show and is like the best pound for pound wrestler there is.
Sure.
AJ and Seth are right there. So well, who two better to decide who's going to be your world heavyweight champion? So I'm really looking forward to that one.
I'm very excited for this match. I think that was my number one too. But I think as a from a broader perspective, I mean, there's no wrong choice for the Knight of Champions card. It's a very trim, at least what they've announced so far. Very svelte, very directed pay-per-view card. But I think what interests me most about that match is the questions that going in that it will be answered, right? I mean, we've talked about the Seth Rollins' movie career pose a problem for his wrestling career. I think the answer must be no, but regardless. And obviously, whoever wins this match, both these guys are legit, but whoever wins this match gets a real sort of, I don't know, glow up, as the kids would say, right? I mean, it is going to be like a very different look. AJ, if he wins, switches shows, you know, I mean, and just becomes like the top dude on Raw. And Seth just sort of gets instituted as, I mean, he's sort of been the champion in exile in a lot of people's minds for a long time. And he finally gets that position. We've talked about it before. I think the move is to put the belt on AJ. Although I'm a little bit, as far as picks go, we'll do picks on Thursday, but as far as like actual placing bets, I mean, the Waller effect on Friday has to have you a little bit, it has to have you questioning the legitimacy of AJ's chances, right? I mean, he's there. He's basically just like beefing with a SmackDown star on the eve of potentially leaving the show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's great look for Grayson Waller, but you know.
I mean, do you think that the possibility would be? I mean, yeah. I mean, if he won the world title, he wouldn't even get a chance to feud with Grayson Waller, right? Like, that's not even...
Right, that would be done.
That would kind of be done. So, I mean, I don't know. They might be tipping their hand a little bit, but it's not like this isn't without precedent. Like, they've definitely had moments where, you know, maybe this is just more looked at as, hey, we want to get Grayson Waller more...
Big look.
Yeah, a big look as the, you know, this show. You know, they don't really have shows like that. I mean, the KO show is a thing, but, you know, he's busy doing, you know, real fighting stuff. And this is somebody who's brand new and kind of reminds me of the Street Profits when they first got brought up. And, you know, for weeks, they didn't do anything except sort of backstage host Monday Night Raw and SmackDown and all that type of stuff. But just tell you,
party in the crowd, right?
Party in the crowd, you know, and, you know, maybe that's what they have planned for Grayson Waller so far. But if it does,
Waller looks good up there. Waller
like he belongs. Definitely.
He looks like a big timer, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely. He gives me, I mean, I don't want to compare him to The Miz because I think that's a lazy comparison, but like when you could put him side to side with a guy like AJ Styles just holding a microphone and he doesn't look like he hasn't been there before, it kind of gives you that sort of comfortability that makes you say, oh, not only can this guy wrestle, he could do other things, which is the biggest thing you could have when you're a brand new competitor, right? Like you don't just want to go out there and break your neck, you know, the first time out just to try and impress people. If you can impress people just by standing and talking and being looked at as a threat without necessarily doing anything physical, That's a great place to be at. So I think they have big plans for Grayson Waller. It just, I don't know, they might be tipping their hand a bit if, you know, Seth Rollins is going to be your first world heavyweight champion. And it doesn't really make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels good to me with Roman and Seth as like your two top dogs in this company right now. So I know I've gone back and forth a lot about who I think is going to win this.
Well, we'll make official picks later.
Yeah.
But I think that's good. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Grayson Waller all night. I told him when I was talking to him at WrestleMania, I was just like, dude, no one has gained more esteem in my eyes since the debut of NXT 2.0 than Grayson Waller. When he first popped out there, I was just like, I think I said to him, well, I felt really awkward after saying it. I was like, who is this skinny guy? You know, like,
I wasn't a big fan of the shorts. That was my thing.
No, the shorts are great now though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, because they add something to the character, you know, but at the time it was just a whole lot of stuff happening at once. I was just like, is this like a Kevin Federline gimmick? Kevin Federline, by the way, did not wrestle in shorts. If memory serves, he wrestled in like khaki shorts and, you know, a quadruple XL white t-shirt, yeah, which, you know, as one does.
I mean, Floyd Mayweather sort of wrestled in those Grayson Waller boxing shorts, I guess.
Yeah, but I like the boxing shorts. It's a good look.
Different.
So yeah, I think that's a big one. All right. So if you pick that one, now I get to pick a different match. I think that the big note coming off of that one is that it's interesting to see where, for me, I'm excited to see where they're going to go. I think that there's a lot of these matches that fall into that category, right? I think everything for a show like Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, which could just sort of be a borderline throwaway in terms of long-term storytelling.
AKA into the Saudi-verse, where things matter or they don't.
It's weird. The match that sort of has, that feels the most solid is sort of Rhodes versus Lesnar, but I'm not sure how that's going to end. I think between Rhodes, Lesnar, Belair, Asuka, and I said it last time, Gunther and Ali, I think one of those is going to really shock us. I don't really know. I don't have some inside info, and I don't really know what else to say. I just think that
you think we're going to get like a shock, bubbling. A title change, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I think it's either going to be Asuka or Ali winning, or What do we think Rhodes versus Lesnar? The money is on Cody Rhodes, right?
I don't know. I mean,
but that's it. You can never pick against Lesnar.
Yeah, this is Brock Lesnar in the what? Is this a fight? Is the street?
So
fight
a shock in that match would be one of them winning decisively, like and easily. Well, we'll see. I gotta pick the other one though. If we're gonna go matches we're most excited for, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. First of all, this is a big time match, right? I mean, on SmackDown this week, they did a lot of the legwork for making, and I mean, they've been doing the legwork for a year, but a lot of the work for making us care about this match. And a lot of the work for, I mean, but they really made this feel really special, especially for a lot of different reasons. The thing that I can't get over is normally you put Roman Reigns in a tag match on a big show and it's like a sort of like not a full vacation, but like a half day Friday sort of situation. You know, it's like that's why you put the champ in a tag match. But like this putting a normally the partner wouldn't be Solo Sikoa. Normally the partner would be somebody who's going to be the workhorse in the match. Right. Solo is going to presumably do that. But this is a lot on Solo. And I mean, he's been living up to everything so far, but this is going to be really interesting to see the kind of look that he gets. And frankly, to see the degree to which Roman Reigns is involved with his own team's victory or downfall. I just think there's a lot of questions in this one. It's funny, like I think that partly because of Sami Zayn's history of not working in Saudi Arabia, I think that nobody would have been terribly shocked if like the Bloodline or Imperium had taken the belts off of KO and Sammy before the big event. And well, we got a whole week. They might still.
It might happen.
But if they get there with the titles, I'd be pretty shocked to see them lose. I don't know. I mean, I just think there's a lot that can happen here. But regardless, we got three absolutely elite wrestlers plus Solo Sikoa, who we might be saying is absolutely elite within the next 8 months. And I mean, going from a couple weeks ago, we were just like, they just got to have Kevin Owens turn on Sami Zayn because I don't care about any of this anymore. I got to tell you, they got me back in. They got me back in.
Listen, man, that moment between Roman and Solo could launch like seven different storylines alone, right? Like, this tag team match, I think I'm not necessarily excited for because of the prospects of a title change. I'm excited because I feel like there's still going to be more layers to pull off of this bloodline storyline, right? Like, it feels like, it all feels like the roads are leading to a bloodline implosion, right? Like, I feel like the main match, either at SummerSlam or Money in the Bank or whatever down the line, is either a tag team match between the Usos, Roman and Solo, or a fatal four-way match with all four of those guys. And, you know, and maybe you put the titles on the line, right? Like, I think that's, you know, I think one thing that they haven't done in a while is kind of go back to the beginning of what brought Roman to power. And Roman came into power by beating the shit out of Jay, beating the shit out of Jimmy. And he hasn't really touched Solo until Friday. And when he touched them for the first time, he almost looked like, you know, he didn't look scared, but, you know, everybody felt that tension between them two, right? So I feel like it, a lot of people are sort of like foretelling, you know, and I think I was one of those folks. I was like, you know, it would just be funny to have Roman Reigns have the tag team titles just to have the Usos walk around and carry them for him until they finally go nuts and they, you know, explode on each other, whatever. But, I mean, a fatal four-way between the bloodline for the, you know, undisputed WWE championship is something I almost think is an inevitability at this point. Like, maybe SummerSlam. Like, you talked about, he really drove home the fact that this was the first time the bloodline main evented two nights of WrestleMania on Friday. No matter, take it away, whatever. I think the only way you step that up is if all four of those guys headline SummerSlam for the undisputed championship. Jimmy, Jay, Solo, and Roman. And that's, you know, the bloodline implodes at SummerSlam. And I think whatever happens from this tag team match at Night of Champions is going to set the course for that. You know, yeah. I don't necessarily think this is going to go back to Jimmy and Jay just being tag team guys afterwards. I almost think this is the last hurrah as those guys as tag dudes, because I think Jay is ready for his solo run. I think Jimmy's been supremely underrated throughout this whole thing. And, you know, his sort of role within the entire bloodline storyline is what kind of started this thing in the first place. So I think that's going to be an interesting story to tell. And now you got Solo, who's not scared of nobody and even almost puts a little fear in Roman's heart. You know what I mean? Like, so it's very good, fellas. It's very, you know, the person's closest to you is probably going to be the one that does Roman in. So who knows? But I think that all starts with this tag match at Night of Champions, whether they win or lose.
At the risk of getting way, 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 way too far ahead, if Solo is the one that eventually topples Roman, does Roman just show up a baby face on the next episode of SmackDown?
I don't. First off, like, Solo was low-key a babyface, like, not in the...
I know, that's what I'm... That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, like, not in the sense of, like, you know, he's a badass babyface, which is hard to do. And, you know, I feel like if he did, whoever is the guy to topple Roman becomes immediately the biggest good guy in the company, unless it's, like, Logan Paul.
You think whoever beats Roman... I'm saying, but if someone...
Logan Paul is the only person that could beat Roman Reigns for the title. And Roman and we'll turn Roman baby, right? Like, that's the only way I see it happening.
But what if it's Roman versus Cody and Solo and Paul Heyman take Roman out? They're like, you were the problem. Cody gets the win. Doesn't that make Roman a baby face and Heyman and Solo are the heels?
Maybe. If it happens sooner rather than later. But if they wait until WrestleMania 40 to do that, like, I don't know. I feel like Roman would be...
Nah, you're right. They're going to get cheered.
Yeah, he'll get cheered regardless, right? So we'll see. But I'm super excited about, because I think either way, we're heading towards a fatal four-way sort of like every man for himself for the title sort of situation. I think this is the start of it. I think Friday was the start of it, but this Saturday is going to be like, oh, this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Waters, you have a different match that you're excited about?
Yeah, I actually do. Asuka and Bianca. Just looking at everything that's leading up to it, I feel like this is one of them times where I feel like Bianca's title reign is in jeopardy because Asuka's doing the little stuff, getting in her head, the miss. She's already mad talking about getting her lick back. And I think Asuka can catch her slipping because she's dead set on getting her lick back, that I think Asuka mm-hmm. can take advantage mm-hmm. of it. So I'm really excited about to see how this continues, because it also feels like, yeah, we got a rematch, but it's kind of like AJ Styles and Shinsuke a few years ago, where it was like the start of a new chapter. And I felt like the WrestleMania match was more the beginning of a new chapter. And I think this is going to be the rivalry to take us into the summer.
I think you're right. I think that my hesitation, when these two are on the screen on SmackDown, I love that whole mm-hmm. segment. I'm fully in. When they're on screen together, I'm all the way in. I think that my only hesitation here is just the history of booking for Bianca Belair and in general, the booking of the women's division over the past 6 months or so. I don't know how much I should care. I do feel like this might be the one where something weird happens. If Asuka wins, it's going to be wild. And I think that, frankly, this is one of those times where maybe you just have her win because, you know, just to sort of like wake everybody up, you know, you're just not, I mean, not literally for that show, but for people who are having the same vibe that I'm having right now, you know, like, oh crap, anything can happen here too. I don't know. Is Bianca Belair, is she a babyface or a heel in Saudi Arabia?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think she's a babyface. I think that, who knows? Who knows? But it would be really cool. It would be really shocking and cool if Asuka won. So I'm with you on that. Kaz, you have thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are starting to wear thin on Bianca. Not her as a talent, but like just to do something different with her character. And it just kind of seems like, especially after the damage control feud with Bayley, with Io Sky, you know, it kind of made people feel like, all right, let's try something new. Let's see where it is. I don't know if it necessarily is going to result in a title change. That's sort of like the easy way out to kind of make it happen. But I almost think like you could... Best thing I can compare it to is when CM Punk was world champion, right? In WWE, where he was the babyface best in the world for a while. And then like mm-hmm. slowly but surely, like he sort of turned as a champion. You know what I mean? And instead of going from this babyface that everybody loved, they became a little bit just more erratic, neurotic, more, you know, I don't want to say paranoid, but like it kind of eventually turned her to the other side without necessarily changing who she was. You know what I mean? So I don't know if they're going to go that direction with it. But I have a fear that people will start to eventually get bored of Bianca. Not her as a talent, I want to be clear. But I just think storyline-wise, things of reasons to get interested in her, I think they've done a tremendous job as establishing her as literally one of the faces of the WWE. But I do think they need to do something to get more, like to get more meat off that bone as far as storytelling with her, because I don't think they're telling a whole lot of stories with her anymore. It's just people line up and they get mowed down. And Asuka got an upper hand on her twice now. It seems like it. And it seems like, you know, a championship victory would make it a little bit more exciting. But then it just starts a whole nother chase. And then Bianca, unless she loses and doesn't get the title back, then it's all for naught, right? I think that the play here is Bianca retaining, but doing it in ways that she hasn't done before that makes people look mm-hmm. at her and be like, huh, okay, that was different. You know what I mean? Whether she's a little bit more aggressive, whether it's whatever it is.
I've been fantasy booking this for too long, but man, get Montez involved. I would love to see a gender swap Macho Man Liz here or something, you know, just like, well, it doesn't really work, but that's not, but just to have the relationship on screen, but have Bianca be like the world conquering hero and Montez is a little bit, you know, who's the one with the bad ideas sort of being the storyline, right? Just like, I don't know. I think there's a lot you could do. Anyway, I agree. I think both those are really good. I just hope something interesting happens.
Something interesting has got to happen. That's it right there.
All right, let's jump to Double or Nothing. It's going to be an exciting show for a lot of reasons.
Yes, very exciting show. Can I talk about it?
Do whatever you want to do. Are we going to break some news?
Yeah, sure. I will be hosting the AEW Double or Nothing pre-show alongside Renee Paquette and Paul White this weekend in Las Vegas.
Chilling it up.
Suck on that show. Suck on that wrestling Reddit. I know y'all going to be tight to see my black ass up there, but no, I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. There's so many good people back there. And shout out Mike Mansouri for tapping me for this. It's going to be so much fun. And I personally believe it opens up the world for shows like us to show that, hey, wrestling anywhere is great, like wrestling everywhere. So I can't wait to be at Vegas for Double or Nothing. It's my first time at an AEW pay-per-view. I did Grand Slam twice so far, but this is going to be my first time hitting there. So
fantastic.
Can't wait to check out everybody and see how it goes, man. It's going to be really fun.
I can't wait for you to get all your picks wrong. It's going to be amazing stuff. Okay, but so what show, now that you're fully invested and chilled out, and whatever you say here is going to be addressed to you directly by now. Someone with the company, what's the one match going into Double or Nothing that you're most excited for?
Easy one. Anarchy in the Arena, Blackpool Combat Club taking on the Elite. I feel like it's Anarchy. I think I said this last show, but Anarchy in the Arena is my favorite AEW match that they do. More than Blood and Guts, more than any of these death matches or whatever they've had. Anarchy in the Arena is just like everything I love about pro wrestling, imaginative violence, right? Like, how can we take this entire arena and turn it into our own personal playground and make sure something crazy is happening at every single time? It's not like three people going into one place. It's like everyone has like a specific area of the arena that they all work towards, and then eventually they all meet somewhere, and then like somebody comes down on a horse or whatever. And like, it's just, I'm just looking forward to like what crazy stunts they're going to pull out for this match, whether it's a car, whether it's people coming on horseback, whether it's somebody jumping off a screen or some shit like that. Like, you know, it's going to be some wild shit. And above all of that, I do believe that this is one of those feuds that can really define what AEW is all about, right? On one side, you got the Blackpool Combat Club, who are this world-respected WWE, Japan, indie legends between Danielson, Moxley, Claudio, and of course, you know, Wheeler Yuta, who's a former Ring of Honor champ. And then you got the Elite, who's finally all back together again for the first time since the beginnings of AEW. And, you know, I think this is going to be the first time we really get to see the Young Bucks, Kenny and Adam Page really let loose in a long time. And one thing I said about AEW ever since the whole Brawl Out thing was the person who got the shortest end of the stick out of all of these people was Adam Page. And I think they had to do the hardest job they've had to do was rebuild that dude into being a big fucking deal. And when he came out, and the Elite saw him and that crowd reaction, it was like, all right, mission accomplished. Like,
yeah,
that dude is a big deal again. And I think this match is going to go a long way into establishing that. So I'm really excited for that, man. Like, I don't know who's going to win. I think there's fun reasons for both of those guys to win as far as storytelling is concerned. But I'm just looking forward to the nuttiness of what that match is going to look like. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve my pick for Thursday. But I think I know who I'm going to be. I think I know where I'm placing my bets in that match. You're right. It's going to be a fun one. I think I said last week that I'm not the biggest Anarchy in the Arena guy, although, you know, the match generally always pay off. But when you're talking about high spots, you're talking about, I want to see what they pull out. That goes, I had a similar vibe when I was, a similar thought process when I was picking, when I was making my selection. There's a lot of things that every match on this card has something that I am deeply invested in. It's not always the storyline they're telling me. You know, in the tag match, the FTR match, like the Jeff Jarrett reinvigoration is just one of my favorite things in wrestling. And to see them go with FTR is going to be, him and Lethal go with FTR against FTR is going to be a whole lot of fun. Similar thing with Christian Cage. We haven't seen Christian really go in a long time. And I'm very excited to see Christian and Wardlow. I mean, that's just a, like, this is why you got Christian there. But it's not just, he's not just a gatekeeper. This dude can go. He's one of the most elite guys in the world. And has been, obviously, for decades. So that'll be really fun to watch. In terms of talking about on the Grayson Waller scale of matches that started off with me having zero interest and now I'm like rocketed to the moon, I am deeply invested in Adam Cole, Chris Jericho. I'm very, very excited for that one. But by a nose over that match, I had to go with the title match. MJF, the four pillars match. MJF, Sammy, Jungle Boy, Darby. Because I've had issues with that storyline for a lot of different ways. But I'm looking at this card, watching the tape, crunching tape, going through everything, and I think that there is a 0% chance that this match isn't just mind-blowingly good. I think that everything that everybody said about this storyline is going to fuel them. I think that you put these four guys in the ring and I think that it's going to be necessarily awesome, but they're going to shift it into high gear and give us so much more than whatever it is that we're expecting. All of these guys are big match guys.
Yes.
With the exception, I guess, of Jungle Boy, we just have seen less of him, but I mean, they're all potentially like big match overachievers. We know that's true of MJF. We know that's true of Sammy Guevara. We know that's true of Darby Allin. I think this is going to be a ridiculous match, man.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be so good. And I almost went with Cole Jericho on this. And I was going to say as a caveat, unless somebody besides MJF wins in the title match, right? That if you could tell me now that someone else was going to win, then I put that number one. But then I started saying that and I'm like, no, that just means that I'm invested in that match more. I think MJF's going to walk out the champion, but the chance, I mean, it's you know, there's 75% chance that it's somebody, well, that's not true. That's the fake wrestling odds, but
that's
the idea that somebody else might win is pretty, pretty delectable. I don't even know who it would be. And I don't think this is really, I mean, this is not the way you crown Darby. I don't think it's even particularly the way you crown Perry. I could see Sammy pulling out a cheap win.
That's what I'm looking at too.
And then we got some Sammy MJF drama we can fall back on. And Sammy's basically a transitional champ, not necessarily transitioning away from MJF, but he's just sort of a storyline champ. But you can tell this company loves him and you get that under your belt and that always helps moving forward. I don't think it's zero. I think it's better odds that the belt changes than this match is a stinker. If that, even though there's two things you can't compare. So I don't know. The more I kind of stared at this one, the more I'm excited about that match. So that's my pick. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah. I mean, I feel you 100% on each one of those. I feel like anybody's, reservations about that match isn't necessarily about the work. It was just about the story. Story was a little fluky. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody looks at that match and thinks it's not going to be a fucking banger, right? So I'm looking forward to it. I think a few weeks ago, if you would have put a gun to my head and said, hey, if you want to pick anybody but MJF to win this, who would it be? I probably would have went Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. Yeah. But the AEW All Access show and just seeing the MJF Sammy Guevara sort of story, seeing the rise of Adam Cole on the outside looking in, I feel like he's going to go over Chris Jericho. He's probably next in line as far as like who's going to get that world title shot. It feels like to me, I mean, MJF is the champion for a reason. I know these guys are four pillars and they all started as the young dogs that are going to help lead this company into the future, but the future is now. And there's a reason why that guy's got the gold first, right? Mm-hmm. So as much as all those guys are extremely talented, like I got to say MJF is just on a level above all those dudes. So it's just going to make the most sense for him to establish that in storyline canon as well, and not just from the eyes of folks who watch, you know, these dudes. He has to win. He has to be that person who comes out on top and establishes himself as the top young star in that company. So really looking forward to that, but really looking forward to the match itself, because I think MJF and just this entire storyline has been like under promise and over deliver, right? Like they do that all the time. And I feel like every single time I go into a pay-per-view match thinking like, oh, well, it's MJF, da 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 da. That's like, wow, this match is amazing, right? Like every single time. So
yep,
there's more bodies to play with and there's more, you know, opportunities to do some crazy shit. So I'm really looking forward to that match. And I think it's going to be worthy of a main event pay-per-view match. It's going to be great.
Brian, what do you got?
I'm looking forward to Jade and Taya. I think this, things are going to be a good match just because the story, and I feel like, you know, Jade looks vulnerable. I feel like Taya is coming back with something to prove. And just on that alone has got me invested. So I'm really looking forward to that match.
Yeah, I agree. You know, not a ton to talk about there, but they, how many days are we into this to Jade's reign right now? Didn't we just reach another benchmark?
59 and 0, right? Is it 59, 58?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. They owe us one. I hope it's going to be a good one. They got the ability to put one on. Let's cross our fingers and hope for the best. I mean, listen, this card is absolutely stacked. I mentioned a bunch of the matches. Got the Blackjack Battle Royal. Mm-hmm. The Cole Jericho match they talked about, unsanctioned. It's going to be absolutely nuts. Man, I mean, there's just so much cool stuff that can come out of this one. And you know, when this show is over, I hope you're just doing the pre-show, right? There's no post-show.
Pre-show.
You don't have to be there at 4:30 in the morning when they're wrapping things up.
Exactly. Jesus Christ. Let's hope not. Just the pre-show. I think it's 0 hour. So
you're up there with show. I mean, with Paul White. Can you like do an Instagram story, like a catering eating contest with him after the pre-show or something?
I'm not trying to take no L's out there, man. And I don't want to disrespect the legend. So nah, we. I don't know. I don't know how it's gonna feel like back then. I've never been backstage at an AEW show. I know a ton of people who work over there. I'm really looking forward to it, man. It's gonna be really fun, and I love being able to just
wait. Seriously though, can you get Big Show? Man, I'm going to give you guys social content. Get Big Show, get Mark Henry.
We got a ringer TikTok.
Who else is who?
I said we do have a ringer TikTok now. So,
hey. Take them to an all you can eat buffet in one of the casinos and just let it go. Just see what happens.
First thing I'm doing is comparing the catering as soon as they get back there. I'm like, whichever, that's you know, if they got the salt and pepper chicken. They got a city theme.
That's nuts. I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard anybody just like tweeting about that.
I mean, there's only a handful of people that can really compare and contrast the caterings, you know. So no, I don't know. I mean, it's gonna be really fun. I'm really excited for the opportunity. And
Tony Khan might have some just like private chef back there, just like cooking it up. What would be the best thing? What would pop you the most? Assuming it's a fairly standard catering operation. Mm.
God, I don't know, man. Like, here's the thing. This is such a silly conversation. But what's the best thing about WWE catering is that it was city specific, right? It wasn't just like, you know,
you said this a couple weeks ago that there's like local foods.
Yeah, like if we were overseas, we'd have like the UK food, which was terrible. But if we were in New Orleans, you know, it would be rocking, right? So Vegas is different. I don't really know what to expect from Vegas, but Dave, Brian, you guys will be the first to know which plates is hitting once I get back there, man. It's going to be
okay.
Fun.
Let me just make it a specific question. New cold close question of the week. What would get you more excited? What would you pop Barra for if you went back into catering? Is it the prime rib under the heat lamp with a dude slicing it?
Oh. Gosh.
Or is it a dude standing behind the waffle iron making you whatever The waffle with whatever toppings you
want. I'll throw a third caveat in there. I'm a big fan of the pasta bar. When people can make their own, they take their pastas and you just tell them.
Oh, like they add the little frying pan and you just tell them what to put in?
Oh, yeah. That's my jam right there. But, I mean, it is.
Not the pasta bar like the old-fashioned Wendy's pasta bar where you just scoop some noodles.
No.
And you scoop some. You're just like, do you want red sauce or white sauce? Not that.
Straight up, I don't know if you guys have Fresh & Co. outside of New York City, but straight Fresh & Co. Like, just, you know, give me all my ingredients, you know, saute that joint up and make it delicious. Nah. But yes, I would pop. I think I'm a breakfast bar guy, right? If you could omelet me up too,
yeah.
Omelet, make your own waffles, that type of shit. Fantastic. Always down for that. Always.
Brian, prime rib or waffle bar?
Oh, prime rib.
Gives me the itis though. I gotta be awake and sharp, right? Like, slow roasted anything, I'm liable to
gives
take
me the
nap.
Itis, but you can't say no. That's what makes sure it so good. Can. Anyway,
good lord.
let's talk real quick about Battleground before we get out of here. Kaz, what match are you most excited for at Battleground?
I mean, I'm excited for that main event, Bron Breakker versus Carmelo Hayes for the NXT Championship with Trick Williams in his corner. Bron Breakker, I said this months ago that before he even lost the title, he was getting a little boring. And right now he's anything but boring. He has turned into a straight up badass. He's taken the parts, all the good parts of heel Scott Steiner and morphed them into, you know, the 2023 version of that. He's beating the shit out of Trick and Mello every single time out. And now Mello, who was probably one of the most egotistical dudes on the roster maybe a couple months ago, is like turned into a sentimental babyface in his hometown. So I think that's going to be an incredible moment for Bron and Mello. And I think their match was good at NXT Stand and Deliver, but I do think there's a level up that they can go. And I think the hometown crowd, I think the fact that it's not just the I respect you, you respect me sort of storyline. The fact that Bron Breakker has turned into a straight up jerk and wants to, you know, just maul and annihilate people now, I think bodes well for the chemistry of this match. So I think it's going to be a great finish. I think it's going to be a great run it back moment for those two. I mean, the match was good at Stand and Deliver. It was a great moment for Mello, but just seeing the matches Carmelo's had over the past several years, I know he could step it up a little bit more. And I think they have more of an emotional reason to step it up in this rematch. So obviously it's the easy one. It's the main event, but a guy like that getting to perform as a champion in his home state / hometown is always is always a good one to watch.
I will say, the build on this one has left a little something to be desired for me.
Really?
I agree that Breaker's a great heel, and I love Mello endlessly. Shouts to Carmelo Anthony, by the way, announced his retirement this morning.
Legendary bucket getter. Shout out Mello.
One of Mello and Bron is still going for a couple more days in the NBA
playoffs. For a couple
more
days anyway, right?
Yeah, there's just something that's not quite clicking. It just seems a little bit by the numbers. This is a really great WWE highlight package feud right now. Right. Like the highlight package they show before this match is going to make this seem like an epic feud. And there's just something in the watching the shows week to week that's not 100% there for me. I mean, frankly, it feels like they've already penciled this in for like two more months. And so, you know, or until whatever the next NXT pay-per-view is. So maybe that's part of what I'm feeling. I'm just not 100% in yet. But this is, I mean, honestly, that's the match I'm most excited about because those two guys are the two guys I'm most invested in. But if I have to pick a match I'm most excited for, I got to go completely the other way. And I'm not making some sort of comparison in terms of the story they've been telling. But if we're just talking about what's going on bell to bell, then it's Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee. I cannot wait to see those guys get in the ring together and just absolutely, oh, I just took Brian's pick.
I love it.
And just absolutely blow it up. I will say, Brian, why don't you talk about that one then, if that's the one you're most excited for?
So I'm very interested just to see those guys, you know, go at it, especially for this Heritage Cup and this British Round Rules match. Like, I don't have, like, a lot of, like, memories with that, so I'm, like, really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why that's my pick.
Yeah, no, it's going to be absolutely crazy. The NXT Women's Championship match is still up in the air as of recording, so it's a little bit hard to make a pick. I'm not... I went in thinking I knew exactly who was going to win, but I don't. I don't know.
And we'll have that on Wednesday Worldwide, but like I could see it going both ways. Like either a revisit of Cora Jade and Roxanne or...
Yeah, which is what you would normally do when you're sort of like reestablishing a division. Obviously, both of them are still at the very top and like it's an easy face heel matchup or go ahead.
Yeah, Tiffany Stratton and Lara Valkyrie. Because I thought Stratton was the forefront winner. That's who was my pick from the jump.
Agreed.
But...
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I just couldn't... I feel like it's going to... I mean, I feel like if you show me these two matches, the one I'm most confident about is that Cora Jade is going to end up in the finals. So Roxanne makes a lot more sense. But who knows, man? Maybe you just go Cora Jade, Tiffany Stratton, and you make this about, you know, you make this like a sporting contest and not just about some like storyline you got to spring out.
Yeah, I feel like you were heavy. You were big on Tiffany Stratton early.
I gave her a rocket or an honorary rocket early on. We have to do rockets next week. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a month into her NXT run, I was like, yeah, not only is she got the stuff, but she's got all the WWE stuff. And I think that you know, we're seeing that now, kind of built into the character a little bit, that she's just ready for the big time. And all of her interviews are about, like, she does, like, shoot interviews and, you know, with, like, news outlets or whatever. And it's all about, well, when I'm on Raw or when I'm on SmackDown, yeah, she's going to be fine either way. But I think in terms of what would actually be like an interesting next several months for the division, I think Tiffany Stratton with the title could actually be, you know, we haven't seen that one before.
We haven't. I think she's got hella potential too, man. She's got it. She's got a presence. She's got a presence. The title would look good on her. I'll tell you that.
It's kind of crazy. If you look back at that whole tournament, I mean, the people who didn't make the final four, Gigi Dolan, JC Jane, Kiana James, Fallon Henry. I mean, those all, there's, you know, a version of history where any of those four are making their way into the finals. So, you know, there's still a lot of developmental going on. There's still a lot of training and learning and evolving going on, but they've got a lot of talent down there. Anyway, all right, those are the three big shows. Those are the matches we're most excited about. On Thursday, we're going to come back and do our official picks, which we'll have to do at light speed to get all of these.
It's a lot of wrestling this weekend. It's going to be insane.
And guys, I'd just like to make a special announcement. We've been recording for, according to this, just over an hour, although I'm sure there'll be some edits, so the people listening to this will take exception to that. But we've been going for over an hour, and we've not said the name.
Don't say it. Don't die. Damn it. Oh, God.
We get an award for that. We're going to bring out the prime rib and the waffle bar just to celebrate this episode of the show.
Golly. Oh, hilarious. Yeah, we're almost there. We're almost there, but we had to meet our...
That's okay.
We had to announce it.
We got to celebrate. Well, congratulations to you, Kaz.
Yeah, thanks,
buddy.
You're
going to have a good time this weekend. It's gonna be fun. I'll talk to you on Thursday.
The fun thing is I'll also be on WWE Ultimate this weekend, too, for the Night of Champions episode. So,
I mean... You're the Chris Bay, or you're like the ravishing Rick Rude of podcast hosts doing
wrestling appearances. Listen, I'm an independent content creator for professional wrestling. Wherever good professional wrestling is, I will be there as long as you pay me. Just kidding.
Everybody's got a price.
That's great. Do you want to get your plugs in so we can say goodbye?
Yeah, man. Say Less with Kaz, Loki, and Rosie, out every Monday. New episode is out now. Great interview with Lenny Cook, a guy who, you guys who may be very familiar with. I think right now he has incredible story to tell, especially between the LeBron, John Morant, Victor Wembanyama stuff about it. He has an incredible story. Anybody who hasn't heard Lenny Cook, Google it. Check out the podcast. You can check me out on Countdown Points Bet USA every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and right here on the Masked Man Show on the Ring of Wrestling feed. I'll see you guys at Double or Nothing in Vegas, and check me out on Peacock this weekend on WWE Ultimate Night of Champions before Night of Champions kicks off Saturday. So lots of Kaz on YouTube this weekend as far as professional wrestling is concerned.
You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. Make sure you listen to all of the great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed, GP, Wednesday Worldwide, and of course, the Masked Man Show with Kaz. Thank you, as always, to Super Producer Brian Waters for sitting in with us and giving his picks this week. Apologies, as always, to John Moxley. Get better soon, Mercedes Moné. We'll see you back here on Thursday, Humanoids.
Jeez.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.